Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. Blessings of Liberty is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located just 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just off of Highway 105 South. You can get there from Boone in just probably 5 to 10 minutes, depending on where you are in town. I'd say I could get there from the red light at Wendy's. Most everybody knows where that is. Probably about 8 to 10 minutes, somewhere right around in there. But we'd love for you to come and visit with us in any or all of our services. We have what I would say normal service times. 10 a.m. Sunday morning is Sunday school. 11 a.m. is preaching service. Second and fourth Sunday nights at 6. And then every Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We are currently studying the book of Mark. We just finished up chapter number 1. And so we're early on in a study in the book of Mark. And I'm thinking that will probably take a year and a half, somewhere around in there, to preach through the book of Mark. Anyway, we'd love for you to come out and be with us in the services. I also want to begin to announce the fall semester for Victory Bible Institute. Victory Bible Institute is a Bible institute I've been associated with for several years now, since the 90s, the early 90s is when I started going there. And then I've graduated and I have taught as well over the years. But Victory Bible Institute is going to get underway August 14th for residents. That is the group of people that will actually attend VBI in Roan Mountain, Tennessee. And then the satellite schools begin the week after that on August 21st, so a little less than a month away, August 21st for satellite school. And satellite is where you go off campus. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church hosts a satellite school for Victory Bible Institute. They have class every Thursday night beginning at 6:30 until 9:20. There are 3 classes each night. It is a 3-year program, and you can get your bachelor's degree through Victory Bible Institute. If you are interested in this, please give me a call, or you can go to www.vbcministries.org. And this fall, the classes that are being offered are going to be New Testament Survey Part 1. So this is a good time to get in on it. New Testament Survey Part 1. Dr. Tull Oaks is the instructor there. And then the book of Romans. This is taught by Brother Kenneth Forbes. He's the pastor of the Blue Rock Baptist Church. And then I teach Kingdom of the Cults. That'll be going on this fall. If you are interested, preacher, Sunday school teacher, or just want to learn more about the Bible, I would encourage you to get involved in Victory Bible Institute. And you can call our church phone number, 828-963-4596. Or, as I said, go to the school website, vbcministries.org. Well, I wanted to take just a few minutes and mention that. I want to say hello to Noah. He's here with us today. Noah, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners. We do appreciate our listeners here. Those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And also those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners, and I appreciate Noah and everything he does. He's really been helping me out this summer on the radio broadcast, and it's been a great blessing unto me. Well, we're studying the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights are the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution, and we have been several months going through, I'm going to say maybe 3 months, I'd have to look back in my notes, but going through each of the first 10 amendments. The first 10 are actually called articles, sometimes amendments, but if you read in the actual document, it's called the Article 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, anyway, we are along 5, 6, and 7. And Articles 5, 6, and 7, last week we went through the 6. Today we're going to get into the 7th article. But these middle three articles have to do in one way or another with the jury. And today, the 7th article, let me just read that for you. It says, in suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. And so again, in this 7th article, we see the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. How very, very important it is. The jury system is important because it is one of the last checks against government tyranny. You have the system of sitting on a jury. And we've explained before the grand jury or a criminal jury case. Those are a little bit different. And the 5th, 6th, and 7th articles have to do with these things. But the jury system, it is one of the last checks against government tyranny. But it only works if the jury members are fully aware of their power as a jury member. So it is up to the citizenry, you and I, to realize how important it is when you are called for jury duty. Now, I know how it is. A lot of people, oh, I got called for jury duty. I don't have time. I can't go. And I realize there's some that cannot just leave work. Life has to go on. But this is a very important part of our American system of liberty that needs to be guarded and it needs to be preserved. And you need to be, as a juror, fully aware of the power that you have. Now, jurors are not there to just simply do the bidding of the judge. Now, the judge is actually there just as a referee. The juror is there as an official member of the court. They have their own opinion. They have their own judgment. They're not there just to rubber stamp what the judge says to do. If jurors are confined to just doing what the judge wants them to do, well, the trial is a fake. It's a farce. It's a phony. It's not real. They have to have a power above the judge. If it's just do what the judge says, well, it's basically just trial by government, not by jury. The jury has a very important part to play. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. A few years ago, the George Zimmerman trial, Trayvon Martin, it took place down in Florida. Big publicity. It was on TV for days and days. And he had a trial by jury. George Zimmerman did. And so this went on. I remember watching it. I'm not going to get into all the details of it, but I noticed this. The judge was obviously biased against Mr. Zimmerman. You could tell it in her actions. You could tell it in the way she dealt with the different lawyers. She was obviously on the side of being against George Zimmerman. Now, if the jury would have just went by the judge's actions and her words and things, they would have convicted Mr. Zimmerman instead of the actual verdict when it came out. They declared him not guilty. And so the jury is not there just to do what the judge says to do. And the jury is not there to follow the law alone. Now you say, well, what do you mean by that? The jury is not there to follow the law alone. Well, what if the law is flawed? What if the law is unconstitutional? What if the case at hand has brought to light an error in the law? And so the jury is there to judge the whole case, the facts, the law, the circumstances, the witnesses, all of they are to take all of these things into consideration, and they always have the power to come back and say not guilty, even if that is against the law, even if that is against the judge, even if that is against all the other jury members. One jury member can come back and say not guilty. And so this is very, very important in our society. And if one jury member, sometimes they call it hanging the jury or they call it jury lawlessness, but if one jury member comes back with a not guilty verdict, then according to Article Number 7, listen what it says, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States. And so what that means, if the jury member comes back and says not guilty, something is not right here, then the court does not have the power to come back and overturn that. The judge does not have the power to come along and say, oh, they're wrong, we're going to convict them anyway. No, sir. The article, the seventh article, says the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. Now, I want to read some things about trial by jury. I've been referring to a little book, and if you can get your hands on it, I encourage you to do so. It is called the Citizen's Rule Book. It is a pocket size. It has the Constitution in it. It has the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and it has a lot of information about being on a jury. And you can order this online. I've mentioned it before, but Witten Printers, W-H-I-T-T-E-N printers.net is where you can find that. But let me just read a few things about the right of the jury to be told of its power. It says almost every jury in the land is falsely instructed by the judge when it is told it must accept as the law that which is given to them by the court, and that the jury can decide only the facts of the case. This is to destroy the purpose of a common law jury and to permit the imposition of tyranny upon a people. And so it's saying that a lot of time judges do not inform the jury of their right to come back contrary to the law, contrary to the law that he or she has explained. Let me read. Thomas Jefferson said, it is error alone which needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself. I think that's a pretty good quotation there. But it goes on, it says, the jury's options are by no means limited to the choices presented to it in the courtroom. The jury gets its understanding as to the arrangements in the legal system from more than one voice. There's the formal communication from the judge. There is the informal communication from the total culture, literature, current comment, conversation, and of course, history and tradition. And then it goes on, says, laws, facts, and evidence without the power to decide what facts, law, and evidence are applicable, juries cannot be a protection to the accused. If people acting in the name of government are permitted by jurors to dictate any law whatever, they can also unfairly dictate what evidence is admissible or inadmissible and thereby prevent the whole truth from being considered. Thus, if government can manipulate and control both the law and evidence, the issue of fact becomes virtually irrelevant. In reality, true justice would be denied, leaving us with a trial by government and not a trial by jury. Unchecked power is the foundation of tyranny. It is the juror's duty to use the jury room as a vehicle to stem the tide of oppression and tyranny, to prevent bloodshed by peacefully removing power from those who have abused it. The jury is the primary vehicle for the peaceable restoration of liberty, power, and honor to we the people. And there's a lot of things in those couple of paragraphs that I just read that we could comment upon, but the jury has a very sober, serious job to do, and that is to decide what is right concerning each individual case that comes up before it. Now, we've spent a great deal of time over the past several weeks talking about the subject of the jury. We need to go on. So I'm going to just make some closing comments. And I believe this is very interesting. This is sort of to tie all together what we've been talking about, how important a jury system is. The jury system is the ultimate fulfilling of the law. Now, I'm going to take some scripture from the Bible and tie these two things together. And so I make that statement again. The jury system is the ultimate fulfilling of the law. And I'm talking now about the law as we find in the Bible, the law of God. I want to read beginning in Matthew chapter 22, verse number 35. And it is very interesting how much the Bible has to say about judging, court, lawyers, judges. There's a book in the Bible called Judges, and we could spend a lot of time talking about that. The law, breaking the law, all of these subjects are covered in the Bible. But listen to Matthew chapter 22, verse number 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And they're talking about the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. Okay? Verse number 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so here in Matthew chapter number 22, we have a lawyer. He comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He asks him a question. Verse 35 said, tempting him. He's trying to trip him up. You know, he's a true to heart lawyer. He's trying to get the Lord Jesus to trip over his answer, to trip over his words. Tempting him is what the Bible says. And so Jesus gives him this answer. What's the greatest commandment in the law of Moses? That was the question. Now, I'm going to begin in verse number 40 because here's something very important that Jesus said about the first and the second commandment. And the question was, which is the greatest? And so Jesus answers him, but in verse number 40, he says this, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If we could summarize, what's the greatest of the commandments? Jesus gave two answers there, the first and the second. And he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Very, very important, the answer by the Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit of the law can be summarized in these two commandments. All right, what were they? Verse number 37. Let me read verse 36 again. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? He's saying, if you could pick out one, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus answered, or verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. So the greatest commandment, if we're to summarize the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, what's the greatest one? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Now, if we were to take some time today and deal with what that means God ought to be first in our hearts, in our lives, in our decision-making, in deciding what is right, what is wrong, which way to go, the right hand, the left hand, everything. We ought to obey Him first. We ought to fear Him first. We ought to honor Him first. That's what that means. God first. If we're going to summarize the Old Testament law, God is first. God is above all others. He's above the governments of this world. He is above the judges. He is above the laws. He is above the what other people think about us. You understand what that is saying. I mean, that is a great statement there. Love God all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. That's the greatest commandment. Peter said it like this in Acts chapter number 5, and he was arrested for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and they brought him, they said, they brought him before the council, and they told Peter, we're going to let you go. We're going to tell you this, do not preach or teach in his name, talking about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not preach or teach in his name anymore. You can read this yourself. Peter, we're going to let you go, but we're threatening you. Don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Peter responded to them. Now, they, being the council, they were the law of the land. They were the judges. They were the authority at that time. But Peter gave this response in Acts chapter 5, verse number 29, the last part of the verse. He said in reply, we ought to obey God rather than men. That is a summary of the Old Testament law. That was the number one commandment. Now, Jesus said in verse number 38, this is the first and great commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the second commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember maybe when you were growing up and you learned the golden rule? I remember in our Sunday school classes, we had little pictures, little placards. And you know, one of them would say the golden rule. And it had Matthew chapter 7, verse number 12. This is referred to many times as the golden rule. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. You remember that? Do unto others. And then it says this in Matthew 7 and 12. For this is the law and the prophets. So there again is a reference. This is the law and the prophets. As you would have people do to you, you do to them. Treat others like you want to be treated. This is something that if you've ever been to Sunday school, you've been taught the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now I'm going to turn over to Leviticus chapter number 19 in just the few minutes that we have left. Leviticus chapter number 19. Now, Jesus said this is the first and the second. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You say, what's this got to do with the jury system? I'm going to show you from the Old Testament, from Leviticus. This is part of the law. This is the third book in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. The first five books are called the Pentateuch. Pent means five, and it's the law of Moses. So we're reading out of the law of Moses, the law of God. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. The Bible says, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Thou shalt not stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. There it is in the Old Testament. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now, let me point out in verse number 15, I'm going to show you the jury system. Verse 15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. That's the first phrase in verse number 15. Thou shalt do no unrighteousness in judgment. What's that saying? Do what's right. Put God first. Obey Him. If you do what's right, God is going to be pleased. God is going to be honored. So he's talking about doing what's right in judgment. And that's what a jury's doing. They're setting in judgment on a case. Look what he says. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. That means this. You don't side with the poor just because they're poor. You do not side with the mighty. Look what it says. Nor honor the person of the mighty. Just because a person's rich, just because they're a judge, just because they're a lawyer, or just because a person is poor, it does not make them guilty. Just because a person is the judge doesn't mean that they can cause you to do what is unrighteous. So he says, you don't honor the poor just because they're poor. You don't obey the rich just because they're rich. He said, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. And that is what a jury does. A jury system is only effective if it is a jury of one's peers. If I get in trouble, I don't want a bunch of strangers that don't know me. I want some people that know me. I want some people that know my character, know my life, know my work, to be on that jury. That is the original way that juries were to be. There were to be people out of one's own community, because a man's neighbors know a person best. Patrick Henry said it, I know as long as I live, I shall be safe because of my neighbors. And so there is four things in verse number 15. Now, it comes down to verse 18, says, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I remember when we first started this study, we were talking about a jury. And when you go to a jury, it may be not just somebody else's liberty that you're helping protect, but it may come to the time where it's your own liberty that you're helping. So you want to take the job of a jury as if you were sitting there. And so he gives some warnings. Don't talk about your neighbor. Don't be a talebearer. Don't hate your neighbor. Don't bear a grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so you sit on the jury. You want to sit there as what if that was you sitting over there? Honor God first and then love your neighbor as yourself. That is a principle behind the jury system. What a great principle in the Word of God and in our American judicial system that the Lord has blessed us with. Well, our time is quickly coming on today. I do appreciate you listening in. Noah is going to come and give the contact information. Remember Victory Bible Institute. Starting next month, we'd love to have you come join us as we study God's Word together. Well, here's the contact information. Thank you for listening in today. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.